Would you turn to your Bible this morning, the Gospel of John, chapter 17? This is the third message of the Lent season. Were you there in the upper room when Jesus prayed? And this is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus. John chapter 17, verses 1 to 26. If you find it in your Bible, would you please stand with me together as I read God's word for you. John chapter 17, verses 1 to 26. This is the word of God. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not in it. I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And you send me into the world. I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. May God bless his word. You may be seated. It is rather a long prayer, isn't it? And also the wording sometimes make us confused, because these chapters carry a lot of the special terminology in the Gospel of John. For example, I am in you and you are in me. We are one. Glory. And all sort of these things. These are very special terms that are unique in the Gospel of John. We can know a person by his prayer. Think about that. Reflect upon your own prayer life. When you pray to God, first, how long do you pray? Second, what are you praying? What do you pray for? I bet a lot of you would like me that when I became a Christian, one of the most difficult things for me is how to pray. It's very intimidating because I don't know what to pray for except some of the things that is immediate in my need in my life. For example, my next month's stipend, where does it come from? My financial needs. I'm under the weather, you know, God, would you please heal me? And that sort of things. But also intimidating equally is when Christians get together, we pray aloud. And for a new believer, it's very difficult to do because when I heard all these Christians that they've been Christian for a long time, the word, the phrase that they use, I was scratching my head, where are those words come from? I couldn't even say that myself. So it is understandable in prayer. It is very intimidating sometimes. And actually, the fact is, when we pray, we actually reveal who we are in Christ. How much we know about Him, how much we know about God. It directly affects the content of our prayer. Now this prayer today that you read, this rather long chapter, chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus. Definitely is not the longest prayer that Jesus prayed, but it's the longest one that has been recorded. And it is recorded that way with a special purpose. Because these are the things that are dear to God, to Jesus' heart. Remember, Jesus, within hours, He will face death. He will face betrayal. He will face difficulties and challenges. And at that moment, what occupies a person's heart must be of primary importance for that person. So this prayer, this whole 26 verses, I will give you three parts. Actually, Jesus prayed like three concentric circles. He prayed for Himself first, and He prayed for the 11, His disciples, and then He prayed for all the believers. The first five verses, Jesus prayed for Himself. And all these prayers, the first prayer, the second prayer, the third prayer, actually it's the same prayer, the third part, three parts of the prayer, has one theme that you can connect them all together, is the glory of God. It's the glory of God. Now, you have to understand the glory of God in the Gospel of John has a connection back to the Old Testament. Precisely is Exodus chapter 32 to 34. Chapter 32 to 34 in Exodus recorded the incident after the golden calf that the Israel been led out of Egypt facing Mount Sinai, and God summoned Moses up to the mountain to give him the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Moses was gone for a long, long time, 40 days and 40 nights. And this whole bunch of Israel, millions of them, waiting, camping around at the foot of the mountain. And they were confused. They were disheartened because their leader was gone. They didn't even know where did he go, when will he come back, is he alive or dead? So out of desperation, they come up with something human. They ask Aaron, can you make us an idol? Can you make us a god, a statue of a god that we can worship so that we can focus on him? So therefore, Aaron asked them to give all the gold and jewelry, and out of the fire, it came a golden calf. And they danced, they worshiped, they celebrate around that. When Moses came down from the mountain with the covenant coming from God, he heard that noise and God warned him, those are not the noise of goodness. Those are the noise of the people who rebel against me. They worship, they go back to the idolatry. They go back to worship the idol gods. So God brought judgment over the Israels. God wanted in His anger to wipe them out and saying, Moses, let me raise up your offspring. As my people, I lead them into the promised land. But Moses interceded for them. Moses begged for God's mercy. And God listened to Moses' prayer and spared the Israel. Continued to lead them. But at that juncture, one of the most critical moments in Moses' ministry in his life, because he's facing like, these people, God, you call me to lead them out of Egypt. You promised to take them into the promised land. You promised you're going to be their God. And now they forsake you. And in all your anger, you want to wipe them out. Now, out of your mercy, you forgive them. But I want something more powerful. I want something more tangible so that I know that you are with us. Would you allow me to see your glory? And God's answer was, you cannot see my glory, but I will let you see my back. I will put you under a rock. When I pass by, I will allow you to come out and you will see my back. You see, you and I, human being, after Genesis chapter 3, we are banned from seeing God's glory. We cannot see God's glory. The moment that we see God's glory, we die. Because we are sinners. We cannot stand before the holy God. So God's glory directly revealed to sinner is not good news. It's judgment. But in God's mercy, He opened a new way for us to see His glory. In Exodus chapter 32 to 34, it was the back of God. But in the Gospel of John, it is Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, that He revealed Himself in a humble, in a lowly way, what God intended for you and me to know about Him. So in Christ, the glory of God is fully revealed for sinners' sake. You and I be able to see God's glory through Jesus Christ. And how does Jesus Christ reveal His glory? Jesus Christ revealed God's glory through His obedient death on the cross. That is why today in this text, in verse 1, after Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. The time has come is the time of my death. The time to be crucified, the time to bear all the sin of the world on my shoulder. The time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Jesus died so He can be glorified. Jesus died so that the Father can be glorified. Jesus died so that the eternal plan of salvation can be accomplished. And that is the glory of God. That is the full glory of God intended for you and for me. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you grant Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those you have given me. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The Father gave authority to the Son, Jesus Christ, to give eternal life as a gift to sinners. That is what is eternal life. Eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus Christ. And to know that Jesus Christ is sent by the Father. That is eternal life. Believe in Him. The term believe in Him in the Gospel of John is not only just cognitive sense, but also is a holistic sense. Not only we understand the message, but we take in the message, we accept the message, and we obey the message. That is the term believe in the Gospel of John. When you open Gospel of John, whenever you hit the word believe in me, believe in Him, it carries that holistic meaning. It's not just understand, knowing the content of the message, but also accepting the message, taking the message, and obey the message. And what is that message? Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. That is the message. That is the message that Jesus Christ brings to this world, reconcile sinner to the Father through Him, through His death, and through His resurrection. So Jesus prayed for Himself that Father, glorify me so that I can glorify you. Glorify me so that you may be glorified. So the primary concern for Jesus is to glorify God through his obedience. If our Lord Jesus Christ glorified God that way, you and I, that's also the only way that we can glorify God. Through our obedience to Christ Jesus, through his teaching, through his word, then we glorify the Father. We glorify God. And start from here, then Jesus turned his prayer and to pray for his disciples, the 11 disciples. Verse 6 on, Jesus prayed, I have revealed you, the Father, to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the word you gave me and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you and they believed that you sent me. These couple verses 6 to 8 is the mission of Jesus, that he revealed the Father through his lowly service. And he prayed for them so that they will stand firm in this world. And they know that he is coming from the Father and also have the ability to obey God's word. So in verse 9 on, he continued to pray. I pray for them, the 11, the disciples. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. He prayed for them because whatever they do, what the kind of mission that they embark in this world, has everything to do with the glory of God. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture could be fulfilled. Jesus prayed for two things for his disciples. The first thing, he prayed for the protection. Protection of them because they live in this world. Jesus was in this world, but when he said this prayer, he's about to leave. So he prayed for his disciples' protection. Protect them because they live in this world. This world is hostile to their beliefs. This world is hostile to Jesus Christ's message. This world is hostile to God. And we live in there. We face daunting challenge. His disciples face daunting challenges. One of the dangers is, when we live in the world, it's easier for us to become the world. It's very easy for us to become part of the world. But the danger there is that if we become part of the world, we don't have a message. We'll be part of them. We don't have the message for the world. But on the other hand, another danger is, yes, we live in the world, but we try not to be part of the world. We try to draw a line and then make ourselves far away from that world to protect the purity of our faith. Yes, that is necessary. That is very important. But if we do it in this extreme way, we also don't have a message for the world because they don't listen to us. We lost the connection. We don't have any way to connect with them. We become isolated. And therefore the good news cannot be proclaimed. Because it doesn't relate it to people. So that's why Jesus prayed for his disciples. They are in the world, but they are not of the world. We have to be in the world, but at the same time, we cannot be part of the world. We have to remain the reasonable, effective connection with the world. Understand what they are thinking, what they are doing, what they like, but at the same time, not allow us to be drowned and lost in the world. If you turn on your internet, if you turn on your TV set, if you go to movie theater, you know what I'm talking about. All these movies, all these TV programs, all these everything, information in the internet, is bombard us with the value of this world. It's bombard us with the morality of this world. Extramarital relationship. Sexual relationship before marriage. Infidelity. Relativism. Tolerance. Tolerance to a degree that on the expense of truth. All these things, you can smell it, you can see it, you can feel it when you turn on your computer or your TV set. These are the things that this world is talking about. They are fond with. They love those things. And if we are part of the world, but we are not out of this world, we easily become one of them. Come to think about it. What is your belief and your stand about abortion? What is your belief and stand about homosexuality? Have you ever spent time thinking, studying what the Bible teaches about these things? Would your value system shaken, leaning toward what the world rushes us toward? We have the choice, we have the right to control our body. Sexual relationship is just for the gratification of an individual. There's no responsibility. There's no deeper relational connection. There's nothing holy about that. These are the things that affect us day in and day out. It's very easy for God's people to become part of the world. But on the other hand, we cannot close the door, shut the window, pull down the blinds, and say, this is what the Bible said, I fully believe it, and I'm not going to compromise. Yes, those are right. But we have to remain open with certain connection, understanding of what this world is talking about, so that we fully understand the truth on God's word, but also at the same time, understand what this world is struggling with. And we pray to God to give us wisdom and windows of opportunity to share the good news, to make God known, to reveal God's glory to this world. That is why Jesus prayed for his disciple. Even though he's praying for the 11, but he also, that prayer also applies to you and me. Because we carry the same mission as the first generation disciples. To bring the good news to the people around us, to the world. And you see that language that Jesus used when he referred to these people. That, Father, you have given me. You have given them to me. Sometimes it's easy for us to sidetrack because that language that Jesus used. What Jesus tried to communicate, what Jesus tried to say is, these are the people that secure by the Father's will. Father, the Father called a group of people out of this world to belong to him and belong to him alone. And these people he had entrusted to Jesus Christ, to me. And I am faithful to that mission and I have kept them safe. Brothers and sisters, do you know that you are one of those that God say, these are the people that belong to me? Your foundation, your security, your certainty in Christ, your certainty before God the Creator is of God's promise. God is the only God in the universe. He's the Creator. He's the Almighty. If he said, you belong to me, I chose you before the foundation of time, who in this universe can say otherwise? It brings tremendous security and joy to our hearts. Brothers and sisters, you might have up and downs every day, but I hope that your anchor is not anchored on your up and downs. Your anchor is anchored on this promise that out of God's goodwill, He chose you, He called you, so you respond to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that good news, and you receive eternal life. And nothing, nothing in this universe can pluck you from the hand of the Almighty. That is the good news of what Jesus used that language for. He's assuring His disciple. Don't be disheartened by the wind and the wave of this world. Your security is in something more, much more stronger. It's an eternal security that you have. You might experience ups and downs, but those ups and downs doesn't define you. It's the will of God defines you. It's the will of God defines who you are in Christ. Are you going through some tough time? Are you facing all sort of calamities in your life, in your family's life? Take heart, because Jesus said, the Father gave you to Him. He chose you. He prayed for you. He prayed for your protection. He prayed that you will stand firm. You will be faithful to the message that the disciple bring to you. And continually, Jesus Christ to widen His circle of prayer. In verse 20 to 26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through the message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one, I in them and You in Me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Jesus is repeating this prayer, His request twice between verse 21, 22 and 22 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through the message. Jesus prayed that His disciple will be faithful to the message, and therefore they can be a powerful witness in this world. And Jesus widened the circle to pray for all the believers. I believe that this widened circle of praying for all the believers is including everyone, whether it's in ancient time and now in the future, all the people who believe in Him. What did Jesus pray for? Jesus prayed for unity. Unity of God's people, unity of all the believers. Now, but this unity is not united because of the church structure. This unity is not united because of love. This unity is united on a foundation. And what is that foundation? At the end of verse 20, you see, I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message. So in other words, that unity is based on a message that the disciple handed down, which is the gospel. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin, who was buried, and who was raised on the third day. That unity brought us together. It's that unity crystallized in one person, Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of that unity. It's not the church structure. It's not what kind of church that you are in. It's not even, a lot of people have that wrong impression about Christianity. It's all about love. Yes, Christianity is about love, but that love is not at the expense of truth. And this is the foundation of truth. That love only comes from Jesus Christ. The love of Christ. And Jesus Christ is the foundation of that unity. And He asked that, Jesus asked it again in verse 20, I've given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one. Jesus prayed that all the believers will be united on that foundation of himself as the foundation. When we united together, regardless of our language background, our cultural background, our ethnic background, our political background, whatever that is, we are living out the gospel, a powerful testimony to this world that the Father sent the Son, and the Son ministered eternal life to all those who believe. That is why in the book of Ephesians, the theme of unity is so important in Paul that he wrote in chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. Let me read that to you. Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body of the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigner to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandment and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You see the language that Paul used? It's profoundly Christ-centered. The unity is not the unity of ideal. It's not the unity, not even the unity of same value system, but it's the unity in Christ. That he used his body, his flesh, to abolish the dividing wall and make two into one, and make that as a dwelling place of God's Spirit, the new temple. So brothers and sisters, you and I, we are the temple of God. We are the tabernacle of God. We are the tabernacle in which God's glory dwells. That is why Jesus continued to pray for his people. He prayed for himself so that in all of his obedience and death on the cross, the Father may be glorified. And he prayed for his disciples so that they may be faithful to that message, be in the world but not be consumed by the world, and proclaim that good message so that God's glory may be revealed through them. And he prayed for all the believers so that you and I will be united on that foundation, love each other, bear the cross for each other, and precisely because Christ used his flesh to abolish the dividing wall, so that the whole world may be able to see the glory of God, and you and I become the temple in which God's glory would dwell. It is a high priest's prayer. It is a prayer of Jesus Christ. And his ultimate concern is God's glory. In this Lent season, we meditate upon the suffering of Christ. But today, in this chapter, in Jesus' prayer, he reminded us there's a reason for him to suffer. And that reason for him to suffer, I'm sorry, dear brothers and sisters, is not about you and me. We are part of that, but we are not the focus. The focus is to glorify God. It is a challenge for you and me. No matter what situation you are in, is that our focus in our life, to glorify God? To allow the glory of God fully revealed for God's sake through whatever that you and I are going through. Think of that, you and I, sinners. So insignificant. But out of God's goodwill, He's going to make you and me the temple of the Holy Spirit. The place that His glory will reveal. There was a movie star. He recorded his six-year-old son asked him a serious question one day. The son come to the father and said, "Father, I saw the recent movie that you play. I think it's cool because I saw you swing from one building to the other building, try to save those people. How did you do that?" The father's answer, "Oh yeah, that's right. I didn't do that. The stuntman did it." So the son is a little bit puzzled. What is stuntman? Stuntman is a group of people that they dress like me, but they do things that I cannot do. So after a couple of minutes, the six-year-old son come back again. "Father, I also remember that I saw another movie that you did, in which you play an athlete, and you did those flips on the bar, and then you come down to on the ground, and then you stand firm. Wow, that was cool. How did you do that?" The father said, "I did not do that." "Then who did it?" "It's a gymnastic double." "What is a gymnastic double?" "Oh, it's a guy who very good at those things. He dressed like me and do the things in the movie that I could not do." Then the son later on puzzled, come back and ask father, "Then what did you do?" So the father was a little bit embarrassed. He said, "I didn't do anything. I just get all the glory." Brothers and sisters, this is God's plan. It's not because we merit anything of those. You and I, we don't have anything of that worthy for God to bestow His mercy upon us. But because of His unimaginable love, that He chose you, and you will receive that glory. And that's why at the end of that prayer, that Jesus prayed, "Father," verse 24, "I want those you have given me to be with me where I am." What is Jesus referring? He will return to the glory before the foundation of the world. And He's praying for His friends, you and I. "Father, I want them to be where I am. I want to share my glory with them. I want them to enjoy that glory that you've given me, that you and I enjoy." My brothers and sisters, if you take this in, you will be amazed at the plan and the grace and the love of God. Sometimes we don't even think we deserve that. We don't even treat ourselves that way. But all of that unimaginable love of Christ, He wants you and me be part of that glory. Let's bow and pray. Father, we come before You this morning. We confess that in many, many areas we fall short of Your glory. We are not worthy. But yet, we thank You for that prayer our Lord Jesus Christ prayed, that You have given us to Him. Therefore, no one can pluck us out from His hand. So would You encourage us, enable us, inspire us, fill us up with Your Holy Spirit, open our eyes so that we can see Your glory and we long for Your glory. And in particular in this season, help us to live a life that is identical with Jesus Christ, that He live a humble life so that your glory may be fully revealed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.